We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Prize Picks, $100 match on your first deposit. The promo code LIGHTYEARS. Welcome to LIGHTYEARS. Andy Liu.
One intro.
That was a Warriors game. That was a Warriors game. You know, they beat the San Antonio Spurs 117-113. First half was a disgusting performance we've seen all year. And then third quarter, the Warriors decided to dial it in, realize what was at stake there. And, you know, is it not the most Draymond Green thing ever to do something last week that makes us all be like, I'm done. I'm done with this guy. I'm over it. And then you get to one of these games where it looks like they're going to lose to the Spurs. And Draymond's like, no, I'm not going to let you guys lose. You know, and that is the Draymond Green experience in a nutshell. They needed it every bit tonight.
Perfect.
Big win.
Could have wrote an article on that, what you just said. I haven't written anything in about, I don't know, 5 years, but that's the story. That's the story of the game. That's the story of this season. It's the story of this team, right, for the last 10 years, is that you get all mad. Everyone gets all mad. Deservedly, by the way, deservedly mad that Draymond refused to grow up in the game against the who did he get kicked out of against? Orlando. Mm-hmm. And then they show up and to cap off a road trip. By the way, Houston Rockets lost tonight. So because of that, the Warriors are now two games up because of Draymond. I agree. Because of Draymond. He was the best player on the Warriors tonight. Best player on the floor, maybe. Over Wemby. Some huge stops on Wembanyama in crunch time there. So this is kind of why the Warriors will never quit Draymond. I don't think you and I will ever quit Draymond as long as he's just doing shit like this. It's absurd what he's doing every game. He's still one of the greatest defensive players of all time in the world right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hilarious because at halftime, the Volume tweets out a promo for Draymond's episode dropping tomorrow with Mark Cuban. And I saw it and I was just like, they're losing tonight. Just classic Warriors preconsumed, you know, just kind of throwaway troll tweet. And I get Draymond's producer responding to me later. Shout out Jackson going, admit it, Sam, this is the turning point. He is right. Credit where credit due. The Volume tweeting out the promo of Draymond and Mark Cuban, that ignited the run right there. That's it. We need more Draymond podcasts to save the season. That is... The problem has not been too many podcasts. The problem has been not enough podcasts.
Is Draymond is Mark Cuban a bigger get than LeBron? Are we like that one? That's why Draymond's locked in, right? He got Mark Cuban on there. They're gonna fake talk business for an hour.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was some of the best ball Draymond's played in a while. I don't know, man. In some ways, I don't know how much I even want to go into the game because we've seen the game before. The Spurs just played harder than them. They played smarter and harder than them the first half. They're not a more talented team. No Devin Vassell, no Keldon Johnson, no Jeremy Sochan. 3/5 of their starting lineup. And it's not like they have a super talented roster to begin with. They did have Wemby, who...
It's not like those guys are any good, but yeah, go ahead. Besides Vassell.
Wemby's pretty special, but...
Yeah. No, sorry, I agree. I'm saying, like, it's actually better for them to play through Wemby and, like, not ever let Sochan or Wemby or Keldon Johnson touch the ball. Like, I actually like that. I enjoy that version of the Spurs better. But anyway, sorry. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and what was the first half of the game? Spurs playing harder. But, you know, Draymond ignited them in the second half. First 2010 game in God knows how long for Draymond. Six steals. I mean, it's just vintage Draymond. It was I'm going to take over the game in a million different ways. You know it's coming. If anything, I hope Draymond does something dumb right before the play-in, because then you guarantee yourself in the play-in he's going to do something no one's ever seen before and take over a game, right?
He's got to atone for his mistakes. Happy Easter Sunday, right? So for Draymond atoning for his mistake a few games ago, the comments are bringing up that, you know, anytime Draymond does some dumb stuff, you know, which happens hopefully just once a month now, he's going to play great after. And, you know, it's right. Can we just read out his stat line? 8 for 9, 2 for 2 from three, hits a game-clinching free throw at the end. He has 21 points, which in and of itself is amazing. He has 5 turnovers, 4 of them in the first half. And he has 11 assists, 6 rebounds, 6 steals, mm-hmm. and 1 block. And essentially that steal on Wemby was the one that kind of just the thing with Wemby is he's amazing on offense, but he's still kind of in that in-between area on offense where he's not super comfortable going to a jump shot in crunch time.
Right.
Oh, he's 20 years old. So when he tries to drive, Draymond knew he was going to drive, and he's helping TJD, and then he just swipes it away. And you're just sitting there, just like, dude, how many times have we seen that, Sam? You and I, all Warriors fans, everyone listening, how many times have we seen Draymond make that steal? It's unbelievable.
Don't sit in no man's land against Draymond. you're just going to always get taken. No. Yeah. And that's kind of, look, a lot of this season is, I feel like I want to see them have a strong finish this season. No one thinks this team's going to go on a major run. I honestly think back to what our guy Waz said. He's like, just make the playoffs would be a success for this team. And I think I agree with him. Get out of the play-in, be in a playoff series, see what happens. I will consider that a success given where they've been. But the part that's also exciting for me is like just kind of thinking about this team in construct of, okay, it's 2 years in a row. They've been kind of this lethargic 500 team, which like at moments looks good, but we know is not a real team. 2 years in a row. You have to stop saying like, oh, it's just a little bit. No, it's just kind of who you are, right? Which means there's going to be big changes in the offseason, which means I'm evaluating all these players kind of over the lens of who do you want to bring back versus who are you okay being in trade packages, right? Like that sort of thing. And as frustrating as Draymond is, and I know as much as everyone wanted to get rid of him midweek, this is why it's a more complicated question than just like, ah, he's over. He's a hothead. He does this. He does that. It's like, you know what? He's like one of the only guys I can trust when the moment counts to literally just to have the balls to play in those type of moments. And also just IQ. That's the other part of it. Like you mentioned the steal. If it was that easy, a lot of other players would do it. And you know what? They don't. He sees the game faster than anyone else.
Yeah. He's not someone, I think it's pretty obvious, no matter what happens, he's going to be on this team. really, if you go through this lens of the crunch time, it's funny because the three biggest plays, the three biggest players in crunch time was obviously Steph, who made a bunch of shots and then actually had quite a few bad shots, or excuse me, turnovers. Draymond, obviously, we talked about the rebounds that he got, but one of the offensive rebounds, who does it go to? Who does he pass it to hit one of the biggest threes? Actually, the biggest three of the game is Clay. So it's funny to me that those were really the three guys that made those crucial plays in crunch time. I actually think you can argue that even TJD like probably needs to be playing in crunch. Like one of the big things about TJD, when you talk about evaluating someone that I think should probably stay on this team and even play more minutes moving forward, is they need TJD to play next to Draymond. Draymond is not, especially at this point in his career, like you can't just put him at the five with nobody else around him that plays defense. And so that's really the thing to me. It's like, man, watching TJD be able to at least put a body on Wemby is makes Draymond's life so much easier, so he can roam, get steals, all that stuff that he does better than everyone else, right? So that's kind of the that's what I saw tonight that I was extremely I was optimistic about. Like, that stuff makes me like at least giddy moving forward. No, nothing about it, but it's just like, man, those two guys, are those two guys your 4-5? Because I kind of like it, Sam, especially defensively.
Yeah, no, I mean, Trace has been awesome the last month plus. Throughout the stats on the old Twitter, I mean, he's averaging like a double double in 24 minutes. The energy speaks for itself. Gets his hands on a bunch of stuff, gets a lot of blocks and steals, and finishes like he's polished. Also, like, the thing I really like about him is he knows who he is and he knows who he isn't. So he's like the best version of that rim roller, can make the second pass, can switch a little bit, can kind of play off. Like, he's not trying to like take the ball and like prove he has one-on-one game or do like, he knows who he is. And I think that's a big part of it. It's like, figure out your role and just figure out how you can be the best version of the player in that role.
18 points the other night on Friday night, kind of doing the same thing, right? Just, there's nothing impressive. He has great feel around the rim. Mm-hmm. Now we're turning this Draymond segment off the top into a TJD segment. But just the feel around the rim, like, he's going up with it no matter what. It always goes in. I don't actually understand sometimes how he gets the angles. He shoots them from super weird angles. Honestly, it just tells me that that's a guy that's just been doing it forever. I didn't watch him in Indiana, but I assume that this is exactly what he was doing in Indiana. I imagine that he wasn't shooting threes in Indiana, right? Probably not what he was doing. He's probably doing the exact same thing. And really, like, the pointed stuff is like, you think about what happened with Wiseman. This is not really a knock on Wiseman, because we've done that enough. It's just a difference in who a player wants to be and how they are going to be useful as an NBA player. TJD knows what it's going to make him useful as an NBA player. Set a screen, rim run, finish, play pretty good defense. That's all he needs, and he's going to be in the NBA for a long time. Like, I'm not sitting here saying he's this amazing player, but he is a perfect fit for the system. We just watched the ending of the Knicks. Like, isn't Hartenstein just going to have a super long career? Because he just kind of just does just those little things just really well. He just passes
great screen
well.
Center. Great screen center. Great passer.
Rebounder. All that stuff, right? Yeah.
Protects the rim to best of his ability. Going to finish inside. You know, to your point, like, and I think that's the other part of it. It's like, when I look at the Warriors, and we can talk about this more in the offseason, we're going to probably have time to, they do probably need a true number two to alleviate pressure off of Steph. Steph had another phenomenal game tonight, but it's like, I don't know, you look at every team in the playoffs, they got two bona fide guys who could go for 40 any given night. And you look at the Warriors, and it's Steph and a bunch of dudes who fill the gaps for the most part.
Yeah.
But beyond that, and I know it's like very kind of sexy to just talk about like how they need a number two, they also need just guys around it, because like the Lakers have a great top two, and they have nothing really around it. So, you know, the Trace Jackson Davises of the world, the Pajemskis, the Moody, who we're going to talk about a little bit in a minute. Like, you need both. You need both. You need to get a second star to go around Steph, but you also need to have the requisite amount of like athleticism, size, and just rotational value around your two guys. Otherwise, you're just going to like, I don't mean to pick on the Lakers. Well, a little bit, but like, you know, they're kind of like, okay, everyone in the world would want LeBron and AD on their team, but do you really want any other Lakers? Do you want D'Lo? Do you want Rui Hachimura? Do you like that? That's the epitome of like, okay, you figured out the top two parts. You have nothing else.
That's such an interesting argument. That is like an off-season topic, where it's, I kind of would rather have that. Because
it's not about either or. It's like, you want both, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why those two teams are 9-10. Yeah. Right. Because those there's a reason why both teams suck. Both teams are doing it differently, but they both are not good. Even though the Lakers are playing well, quote unquote, right now. But like, well, let's be real, right? They're gonna have to go through the play-in to do that. I'm with you. The Light Years Podcast. We are brought to you by Game Time. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. I am going to opening day, the San Francisco Giants versus the San Diego Padres, and I got them off Game Time. Good thing is I could see the seat immediately, saw the prices immediately. Super easy UI. best price, guaranteed, all that fun stuff. So you can see the view from your seat before you buy. You know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All in prices. Show your total up front, so you don't get any crazy surprises at the end when you're checking out, and you know that you're getting a great deal. You can buy your tickets in seconds with two taps. Game Times has deals on tickets right up to the starter event, and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last minute tickets and last minute seats. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsor deals on tickets for football, baseball, basketball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and roll for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account. Redeem code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed. And we are brought to you by Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like us, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation, whether you're here in the Bay Area or hundreds of other locations across the globe. Access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/lightyears to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/lightyears. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
So the Rockets also lost tonight, by the way. See that?
Love that. We love that. My MVP, Luka, by the way, just throwing it out there.
Honestly, It's kind of weird because I don't think anyone's runaway. Like, Jokic is probably the best player in the league, but they've been kind of half-assing it all year. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like Denver's playing, like, we're going to shut everyone up and get 70 wins.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Like, so I think Luka's been the most impressive player for the most part of this entire season. He looked dominant tonight. He shut Houston's 11-game win streak down, and so now we're here. This is a big week for the Warriors because the Warriors play the Mavs on Tuesday. We'll be here.
Okay.
The Houston Rockets, which will be a big game for the Warriors on Thursday, and then the Mavs again on Friday. So big week for the Warriors right now. Houston losing buys them two games over the Rockets, which means if they lose Tuesday to the Mavs, they're just in the same position they are. And on the flip side, they kind of got the Lakers coming up a week after that, and they're not that far off the Lakers while owning the tiebreaker.
Oh, we are doing this again. Uh-oh.
They own the tiebreaker, and I also just – it's worth calling out. The Kings just lost a couple players. They lost Herter. They lost Malik Monk. They've been pretty unimpressive. I think they – I mean, they have space, so they can lose a little bit. But it's not out of the realm that the Warriors move up. It's not. I'm looking at the whole standings here. The Phoenix Suns, who are the 7 seed, have the toughest schedule going. It's just like Minnesota, OKC, Denver, Dallas, Minnesota, like a lot of that type of stuff. I don't know. Where are you at with the Warriors here? Because I'm looking at this. I think we can all admit they're not getting out of the play-in. But there is opportunity to move up in the play-in.
We were just talking about them a couple weeks ago, getting the 6th seed. Then a couple days ago, we were talking about them falling out of the 10th seed behind the Houston Rockets. No, I'm not making fun. Sure. It's funny. And now it's April the 1st tomorrow when most people are listening. And the Warriors are going to be two games and ahead of the Rockets, and they're right behind, like you just said. Okay, and now you're moving to the schedule. And we're at the end here. We're at the end. Yes. And they play at the end of the season, the Portland and Utah, which is kind of two gimme games. So really, Sam, here's what I think. I think if they win, and this probably isn't going to happen, but if they go 4-0 this week, they end up out of the play-in. Out. As in they're a six seed.
Oh, wow.
But again, that means they have to win Dallas, Houston, Dallas, and then Utah.
Two Dallas W's, including one on a back-to-back on the road. Yep. Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying is not happening. But like the other thing is, like, I'm also looking at Portland, New Orleans. Are they resting guys? Because they're playing right. And then Utah, those are wins. Like, I'm counting some wins. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, if they go 4-0, and I understand that it's Dallas, Houston, Dallas, Utah. But you win those four games. Whew. Yeah, I mean, are we back? I don't know if we're back, but the Warriors have a chance here for real. To be in the play.
Yeah. All right, so eight games left, mm-hmm. 40 and 34. They're actually pacing to have a better record than they had last year, and they had the sixth seed.
That's hilarious.
But more or less the same also. Like, let's be real. 45 versus 44 is not really substantial.
It's the same team, sort of.
What do they need to do in these final eight games to guarantee they hold the play-in? Like, how many wins out of the final eight? And then how many wins out of the final eight do they need to get into that 7-8 game to give themselves two shots?
That's tough.
Because you know what I'm saying. It's one thing to make the play-in in the 8 and the 9-10, but then you need to rip off two wins. That's pretty fucking tough.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. So you're saying, like, how do you, like, forget the 9-10, forget the 6. Like, I'm getting crazy with the 6. Just get 7.
Can you get 7-8? 7-8. Get in the 7, yeah, right. Get in the 7-8 to give yourself two games to make the playoffs.
Right.
Let me go back to the standings just to give you an idea of where everyone's sitting. You think 6 wins gets you the 8 seed? Because currently the Kings are 42 and 31, which means... They'd have to go 3-6 because they have the tiebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I might have to take that back. Producer Tim, you might have to say if you win 4 in a row, I think they're gonna get the 7 seed. Because I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. They probably need to win 6-7, maybe.
And get some help. And get a little help, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, pulling up the
Because right now they're playing, they got to beat the Lakers. And maybe they end up playing the Kings. You're right. 9. Maybe they end up playing the Suns. But either way, they're going on the road. Although, you know, they just won 4 games in a row on the road, albeit against, you know, maybe not so great.
The road's good for them.
Better for them at home. They suck at home, at least this season, right?
I think they need to win 7.
Yeah.
And then they go 7-1. Yeah. And they need a little luck. 7-1 means they'll beat the Lakers, most likely, which means they have the Laker tiebreaker. And then they would need one of the Kings or Suns to not even free fall, just like be kind of low par mediocre the rest of the way, right? Like, and the Suns could do it. I'm looking at the Suns' schedule right now. It's like they're playing the Pelicans right now as we're recording it. Cavs, Wolves, Pelicans, Clippers, Kings, Wolves. Like, it's a lot of, like, they're probably going to split all those games. They're probably going to up a 46-47 win. So, you know.
Yeah. Man, 7 wins. I kind of think you're right, actually. So they've put themselves in a position where, you know, it's not games that they like that Minnesota game on the road is like, man, they're not winning that game, even if they play really, really well. Like, I don't see those games on the schedule. Like, I don't see. You can say they could win all those games, but then, you know, you go back the other way and you're like, well, could also see them just losing Dallas twice this week. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dallas is playing really well, and that wouldn't surprise me. You brought up Dallas as a kind of pseudo sleeper contender, and it's like, well, maybe they are at this point. That's how well they're playing, and they've got them twice.
They're playing excellent basketball. And on the Kings front, just to throw this in, they're playing the Jazz right now. They're probably going to win that one, but then – Clippers, go to New York, go to Boston, go to Brooklyn, go to OKC, home against the like this is the Warriors definitely have the easier stretch of all these teams the rest of the way, but they also they have a lot of ground to make up. You know, like that's the thing. Like they probably, I'm looking at it this way. They need to win against Dallas on Tuesday, and then I might buy that they could sneak it off. But GSWFan07 says it perfectly. They dug themselves a hole. It is what it is. You know, they're kind of in a hole right now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, a lot of these teams have 31-ish losses, mm-hmm. 29 losses. Like, I mean, how many times can you say the Warriors cost themselves 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 wins this season? If you want, even if you don't want to get crazy about 10 wins they've cost themselves, you can definitely count four. Just you can just count four off the bat, where would they be, right? We say that all the time. So that's who the Warriors have been this season. So
I do think it's a big week, and it'll be a fun week for this team in general. Like, I do want to see them. I do want to see them make the playoffs. I want to see changes in the offseason, but that doesn't mean I don't want to see them finish the year strong.
No.
Like, in general, like, I don't know what strong means, but I don't want to watch Steph and Draymond go home before the play-in, limping. Like, that's sad. I don't want that, you know?
So. Well, you know, those guys are on fumes right now, which is the crazy part about this. Steph was on fumes tonight. He was mm-hmm. really good. Draymond was on fumes, but I think getting kicked out of a game here and getting pumped up tonight at halftime got him going again. But I think, you know, these guys are on fumes. These guys are not like, we've rested a week or two and they're ready to go. Like, let's go, right? We watched the Lakers the other night get blown out by the Pacers. It's like, man, they are on fumes. They just, these older teams are just going to be not as lit up as kind of like the Thunder, where they're going, getting after it every single night. But at the same time, you're also saying, well, Steph had freaking 33 tonight. He looked amazing. He looked unbelievable, Steph did tonight. And that's part of what makes these guys so good. Klay shoots a terrible game and then hits that game clinching shot. Isn't that just Klay in a nutshell? These guys. We are brought to you, the Light Years Podcast, by Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats, watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100x your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Whether it's tournament season, we are in the Final Four, and I've found a favorite player. You can go on Prize Picks, pick more or less on DJ Burns Jr., if that's what you want to do. There are no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your latest hoops knowledge into serious cash. Do you want to play alongside some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill and Sugar Sean O'Malley? All right, we got some MMA in here. You can now find community plays under the promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks communities. Each week, Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured for basketball games. If you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks have your back and not count that as a loss. So download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Let's get to the goons. We're in the money end of the Actually, let me ask you this. How are you enjoying the men's tournament? How are you enjoying the NCAAs?
Can we expand that to NCAA tournament, men's and women's? Can we do that?
I know. I had two thoughts on it because I think everyone's hyped for the women's tournament on Monday.
You go first.
But the men's tournament was playing today, which is why I was asking.
Yeah. I thought the games were good. I actually enjoyed the NC State game. Was fun. I had an argument yesterday with a friend of mine. We were at a birthday party and we were watching the college game. So they're coaches, right? They coach high school teams. And they were asking me, like, hey,
you never
like
coach, bro.
Well, they asked me, it's actually my boy's girlfriend, and so she coaches. And she was like, oh, you don't watch college basketball? And I was just like, I don't like it. Like, I don't think it's boring to me. And she made an interesting point to me, and she said, well, we love it. Like, we love it. I like watching it more than men's basketball, NBA especially, because it's more of a team game. And I'm telling her, like, well, there's a lot more skill in the NBA. And she's like, yes, there is. But, and she's talking about both men and women's college.
Correct.
Basketball. He's like, most of the time, it's just a guy playing mismatch hunting and essentially playing heliocentric ball. And I'm kind of sitting there, I'm like, well, that is a really good point, because these guys in the NBA are so
factual. Yeah.
Right. It's just so true that, hey, if that's what you like, that's what you like. If Luka getting out there and just going for 55 like he does every other night, and he just passes the ball to a guy to shoot a three because, you know, that's about what it is. But where in the college basketball, it's they actually have to play kind of Steve Kerr offense because they have to. No guy is good enough to do that. So
no one dropping 15 threes in a game.
Yeah. Nobody's good enough. So I maybe that's your standard college versus NBA argument, though. I find it hard sometimes just to watch college where guys just aren't good enough. They just end up passing the ball on the perimeter around a lot, and then it's a post up. But you know, the DJ Burns is the guy that I ended up loving watching. That's the guy where I was like, okay, I can watch this freaking dude all day long. All day long, Sam. That's my guy.
I personally enjoy both, but I do like know what I'm getting into with both. And with that said, the tournament is unmatched because it's 99% of the players you're watching in the tournament, this is the biggest game they're ever going to play in their lives. And they play it that hard. And like, that's just fun to watch, you know, in general. But like, to your point, the NBA is just much more skillful. So I don't know. I can get behind all of it. It's all fun. But with that said, like, the tournament's just, I don't know, man. How single elimination.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah, it's like watching people try to figure it out the entire way. Like, it's not even about the quality of the game as much as just the intensity.
Intensity.
The entire way. Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I thought of too is I was watching the women's LSU game on Saturday. Yeah. And then I watched Caitlin Clark after. And mm-hmm. one thing I really, because I watched all the men's stuff and same with you, like, man, we got dudes crying and stuff. And Zach Edey today was like pumped up after the game. The thing that I wish we're going to get to see, and I don't know if this will ever get changed, is that, dude, I watched the best women's player play on Saturday. Then Paige Beckers, who I just learned who that was, is, I guess, the second best women's player play on Sunday. And that LSU team, Angel Reese, is probably like a top 10 pick or something like that. So we're watching all the best players. And then USC has this player that's also going to be another Juju's
amazing.
Yeah. She's 18, so she's a freshman. So we're watching all these amazing women's players that will be in the WNBA, or at least top 5 picks, versus the men's, where, let me tell you, like, when I watch Zach Edey and that Purdue team looks pretty damn good. Like I know, I'm just saying. That's the only thing.
But you know what it is.
I would like to see, who's the number one pick? Alex Czar, right? I just would like to see him. I never even seen the guy. I don't even know who that guy is. I don't even know what he looks like. Is he 7 feet tall? If you told me he was 5'11", Sam, I believe you. That's all I'm saying.
Chet is the same age as Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. I think it's that simple. I think it's in the women's game, they stay 3-4 years every time. So, like we all saw Caitlin Clark 2 years ago. We're like, who's this girl pulling up from Steph range? And then she came back another year. And then she came back another year. So, it's a whole thing. The men's game, we all saw Chet as a freshman. Or like, oh, he's an interesting player. Goes pro.
He didn't even use him the right way either, though. That's the thing.
But that's my point. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody who – Tyrese Maxey – no, nah, he's 1 year too much. Sorry. Kuminga should still be in college if we're using that type of logic.
I know.
So I think it's really that simple. I think it's as simple as, like, you have now, over the course of 2 to 3 years, the top women's players, you've, like, learned to know who they are. You've followed their teams. You've developed, like, you like them, you hate, whatever it is, like, you've developed that. Whereas with the men's player, it's like, oh, he's good. Okay, he's pro. Later. Yeah, like, you know, oh, okay.
Or they're not playing somewhere we know. That's true. That's the other thing. We're not playing somewhere we know them. And you're right. So Reed Shepard's a top 5 pick. So okay, so he gets bounced in the whatever this season. I don't even get to see him in March Madness. But like, yeah, to your point, like, he would be playing next season. We would know Reed Shepard.
6 overall or something, right? You know?
Yeah.
And you were excited to see Reed Shepard because you heard about him. You're like, all right, let's see March Madness.
Let's see him.
Has one bad game. bounced from the tournament. Now he's going to go pro. And it's just like, all right, it's going to take you all of next year to figure out who the hell Kentucky has again. So just kind of like the nature of college. And like the other part of it is, even if guys stay, they'll probably transfer a little bit. So yeah. I don't know.
It's
the men's game. I just try, like, to your point, Zach, he's like, it's cool, but like he stayed for 4 years for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Trace is a 4-year player. We know Fitz loves the 4-year guys, but it's like, it's because they weren't good enough to go pro after their freshman. Sure, right. Whereas, like, if you had that same culture in the women's game, Caitlin Clark would have gone pro after 1 year, right?
The girl, so, that girl from UConn, that Paige girl that I was talking about, she's going, she's not even going pro.
Would she make more? And
well, that, I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, like, she's going pro. She's staying in college, which is. And my boy who watches women's basketball, and he's sitting next to me, he's telling me that she's better than Caitlin Clark. She's like, yeah, she's a better player than Caitlin Clark. And she's not even going pro. And I'm just like, man, that's crazy. That's crazy. So anyway, I enjoy from.
I respect the argument, but.
Like
the
take. You're like, he's a takesman. I respect that. I'm not arguing one way or the other.
It's not an unpopular opinion to think like she might be better than. Like Caitlin Clark gets the Harden. Where she plays with terrible players, so she gets the stat pad a little bit, you know. But
yo, she shoots a lot. I thought it was pretty funny. But she's really good passer. I was like, man, she's got a high usage rate. I was thinking about this from an NBA perspective. I'm like, let's not be toxic, Andy. Let's enjoy the game. I enjoy watching as someone that doesn't watch college basketball anymore. I just enjoy watching top prospects play. That's all I care about. Really all I care about. Yeah. So,
but you, like to the point I was going to say is like one of them is playing with other top players and the other's playing in a let's get her 50 shots.
She really is Steph, though.
There's pros and cons to both of them. How many have I watched to the chat? The vast majority of the last 3 years. I'll put it that way. Okay. I want to get to some callers. I want people's opinions on where the Warriors will finish the rest of the way going forward. Where your head's at with the season. It's our guy, Tasha.
To the goons.
You know what's really going to be funny? I really think the Lakers and the Warriors are going to be the 7-8, and we're going to get another bullshit play-in 7-8 game in L.A. for whatever reason. It's been – it's mainly two
– Bron's going to see 3 rims?
It's five rims. Let's keep it pushing just to increase the narratives. But – I think the Malik Monk injury actually matters a little bit more. And they sneakily have a little bit of a tougher schedule as well. They play like the Knicks, I believe, as well. And sometimes they play like a couple of the tougher schedules as games like the Clippers. And then they also have to face the Suns without like two rotation players. It's like, yeah, that's a big issue. So the Suns might lose enough games for them to fall into like that 9 spot. And then the Kings, I really just worry about the Kings, actually. They've been losing. You thought the Warriors have been losing some winnable games? They've been losing to, the Kings have been losing to literal lottery teams. Like, at a certain point, it's like, I like Fox, but I don't know if he can pull this off at this point.
The Kings, by the way, are right now tied with the Jazz. But yeah, they look like, I watch a lot of Kings games just because they're on at night. They're the only team worth watching.
Time zone. Portland. Sorry. Not watching.
Do they like each
other?
Not watching
Wiz Hornets at 4 p.m.
Definitely not. But like the King, I don't know if the Kings, I don't know if they enjoy playing with each other as much as, like, the team just isn't as fun. I think last year's like the Beam stuff was cool. But you know, it sometimes happens with a team where you try to run stuff back, like kind of gimmicky. I'm not saying that it's not a cool thing, but it's like gimmicky stuff like that. The vibes are amazing. Like, you try to run that back in the second season and you hit a little bit of a rough patch with they had. It's just like not as like, it's just, I don't know. The team's got a little weird vibe to it. I think it's not.
So what you're saying is Mike Brown has no hold on the locker room is what you're saying.
I think Mike Brown should come back to the Warriors. The Warriors need Mike Brown.
I do think there's something to be said for, if you're not progressing, you start running into different issues. And the Kings, like, they're not necessarily worse than they were last year, but like, it's not as cool for them to be like a 46 win team.
Right. And when that happens, the expectations, right? It's like we always talk about a team when they come up, it's great. Like the Niners are going to win 11 or 13 games next season, and nobody's going to be happy. Because you know what I mean? No one's going to be happy.
How about the Boston Celtics?
Sure. Right. Yeah.
They're dominant. No one gives a flying fuck. Because, like,
right.
Until they win it all, none of this matters. Like, they're taking care of their business. But, like, you know, until they get over the hump, it's like, okay, cool. We've seen you do this before.
I kind of feel bad for the Celtics. Yeah, because they're that good.
Yeah, the Boston thing is going to get real nasty because I've been hearing all year long that they are the most dominant team since the 17 Warriors. I'm like, come on, man. Like, I know Porzingis has been a hand and glove fit, but like, let's just stop the hyperbole. Like, right. At a certain point, they got to be serious people and just stop dribbling off their feet for 2 seconds and just get the job done at some point.
That Boston one is fascinating to me because if there's one team that I think is like the Warriors, the Denver Nuggets, that's the one. But the Denver Nuggets also, like to Sam was saying earlier, like they're not coming out and saying F you guys, right? They're not saying you guys are disrespecting us, you know, you guys are this and that. They're just saying, you know what, we're good enough. We're gonna be the one seed, kind of half-assing it, which is unbelievable. And then they're gonna turn it on. Hopefully Jamal Murray is healthy. I think Jokic is playing hurt a little bit too. So if they stay healthy, I think they'll boat race it, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's just like frustrating to watch that the Nuggets have been like a historically clutch team since like the past 10 years. And it's like, oh man, at some point it's like, you got to give their flowers to them if they can stay healthy. That's the main thing. And I don't know if Jamal Murray can stay healthy again for another playoff run at this point. So we'll see.
We will see. I think they're, if they're healthy, I don't think anyone touches them, period. I'm not moved by anything I see in the regular season. I think their ceiling is just so much higher. And they also know how to play with each other. Like, what all I need to see from Denver is the end of a close game when they decide to get serious. I'm like, oh, they're gonna blow everyone out of the water. Because they know exactly how they want to play. Like, Jokic, Murray, Porter, Gordon, they all know each other like the back of their hand, and they have the talent. So that's where I'm at with them. Honestly, here's where I'm at with this. I say we call it right now. I say we're back Tuesday night. Let's see how it goes after the Mavs game. Honestly,
Tuesday, much love, let's go.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.